Are you guys with us? We know you are. So here's how you can help. First, share this podcast with your friends. We can't grow without you. Second, go to www.dmwpodcast.com and check out our merch site. I guarantee we have some great stuff that you're gonna love. And your purchase helps support the show. Lastly, keep on leaving positive reviews and follow on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, we appreciate your prayers as we continue to bring glory to God. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Thanks for posting on social media. Couldn't do it without you. All glory to God in everything that we do. Wow, it's been a great couple months. Been very busy. We've had a lot of good guests on here. You guys have been listening to some people that I met down in Tullahoma, Tennessee, and we got another one of those today. Usually, I say a few words and get right into it, but we are going to get right into it today. On the other line, I have Pastor Haps Addison. Happy, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, bro?
Doing good, man. It's good to talk to you again. We kind of had a friendship, kind of started our friendship down in Tullahoma at the Shadows to Substance Conference. Got to hang out for a few days. I know you were on for a little 10-minute segment about a month ago now on the podcast, but wanted to have you on for a little bit longer format. I just really enjoyed your fellowship, your testimony, and everything that you're doing for the kingdom of God. So before we get into it, just give us a little bio. Give us a little background on who you are, buddy.
Well, my real name is actually Todd Addison, but I go by Happy. It's a nickname I acquired a long time ago. It's like calling a fat man tiny, you know, but, you know,
are you saying you're not happy?
I'm not happy. No, I am now. Now I can like literally live up to the name, you know, but, I started, I was dead in my sins and trespasses. I was a hardcore heroin and speed addict for 34 years.
Wow.
And got involved in the skinhead movement here in Southern California. I was a separatist. You know, it's a lot different than a racist. Same thing, same banner, you know.
Yeah.
But here, you know, I was at the end of my ropes and I ended up going back to my hometown, which like every drug addict does, you know.
Yeah,
we always right at the end of our ropes, we always go back home, you know, the girl I chased for 18 years, the one that kept saying no, 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 every time I got out of incarceration, somehow I convinced her to marry me. And it was all bad after that. You know, I started cheating on her, abusing her mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all that.
Wow.
And she would just pray. She would just pray. And my wife's a hardcore believer in Christ, was a missionary to China and Korea. And here, you know, I was just this lying piece of crap. I was just vile, a vile person, you know. Yeah. And I didn't love her or anything. But make a long story short, you know, I throw Bibles at her and say, "Where's your God now?" And say some bad word. And she would just sit there and pray. And I was just, there was something so attractive about that. And I don't mean in
a physical way. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. It was just like, I've never seen this before, you know? I end up, doing too much. I was doing what's called goofballs. So you got speed balls, which is cocaine and methamphetamine.
Okay.
And then you got, goofballs, which is heroin and speed. And I used to slam it intravenously. And, I did too much. No, let me back up a second. I did way too much.
Okay.
All right. And yeah. I ended up stroking out. I had a full-blown stroke and was paralyzed on the whole left side of my body. And I had to go to, and I couldn't speak. You know, I couldn't talk. And I was terrified. I was just trapped up here. And I was just so mad. You know, I just lived this life of just hate. And I hated every race, and including my own. I hated myself. And if there was a God, I hate him too. Wow. But here I had a stroke, and after I got out of the rehabilitation, they had to put a bed down in front of my in the living room in front of our television. And yeah. So my wife hooked up the laptop to our television, and she went to YouTube and put it on repeat and typed in Reformed pastors.
And you couldn't do anything. You were incapacitated, weren't you?
There's nothing I could do. I was so upset, dude. I was like, no, I'm not listening to this. No. And a guy named Jeff Durbin from Apologia popped up, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it was like, you know, so when it comes to, let me tell you something, when it comes to the doctrines of grace, I really experienced that. I mean, it was like all of a sudden I came alive, and I'm like, what's going on? And all of a sudden I'm given this faith and repentance. And it was like that. It wasn't about, well, it was about like a year later, I started walking again. I could walk with a cane.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's how I came to know the Lord, and never looked back. I never looked back, you know. Wow. There's nothing else I want to do besides serve Christ. Nothing.
So that Psalm where it says he pulled me out of the muck and miry clay and put my feet on solid ground, you live that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, because I was not a believer. Yeah. I was not a believer. And I grew up, my parents were part of the Calvary Chapel movement. And so my dad was, what's his name? Chuck Smith's, what's it called? A real estate agent.
Okay.
And that's how my dad came to know the Lord and everything. But I was a runaway since I was like 12, 13, wow. You know, something like that. So
rough yeah. life. You know, when you're telling that testimony too, praise God for a faithful and godly wife.
Yeah.
You know, so often now, and I've talked about this, and I've been talking about it the last few weeks, about how often we go in the modern evangelical church, how we want to go right to divorce. If two people aren't getting along, or even if there's abuse, that's usually the first yeah. answer. Now, this is a tough subject, and you've lived through it, but it sounds like you were a pretty wretched, depraved guy, like we all are.
Yeah.
And she was a faithful and godly and prayerful wife who stuck with you, and I love that she put on
yeah.
Reformed preachers on YouTube and you couldn't do anything about it. She forced you to watch it, boy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She was, she taught me all about Jesus. She taught me about forgiveness. She actually taught me how to pray.
Wow.
You know, I kept hearing all these people. She tried to take me to these churches, and I'd hear, and they were like, you know, out here in Southern California, it's mainly charismatic and, or Methodists or whatever. I keep hearing these people with these really fancy prayers, and I was like, I don't even know how to pray, you know.
Yeah.
She taught me about the Bible, and that was the start, you know. But yeah, it was through her faithfulness. I mean, you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
I'm dead serious. All right. So my house, I turned it into a drug house back in the day. So I always had I was selling dope and everything. And,
yeah.
And I had a roommate. We had a roommate here and everything. And when I used to have this lower Jaguar, you know, I was like, you know, thinking I was cool or something. I don't know. And here I'd be going down the street, and I'd be heading home, and I'd call my boys on the phone, and I go, hey, where's Irene? That's my wife's name. Where's Irene?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, dude. She's on the roof. And so we have a flat roof.
Right.
And whenever she would cry out to the Lord, she'd go on top of her roof with a blanket and just sit up there and pray.
Wow.
And I was like, uh-oh, I don't want to go to jail. I'm dead serious. I don't want to go to jail.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Covenant Real Estate. And why not? It's my podcast and my real estate company. But seriously, I've absolutely enjoyed helping clients buy, sell, and invest in real estate over the last 12 years. iBrokerage serves clients in Michigan and Ohio, with more states coming soon. When I started this brokerage, I wanted to ensure that my expertise and knowledge would serve every one of my clients. I take my fiduciary responsibility to my clients very seriously. That's why I named it Covenant Real Estate. Not only is a covenant a contract in the legal sense, but it's also a solemn promise from myself to each of my clients. I will do my absolute best to serve you. It's also pretty cool that our name has some theological implications as well, which is a great conversation starter. And here's the best part. My agents and I have extensive experience in helping people buy and sell residential homes, buy and sell commercial properties, as well as investing in real estate and selling and purchasing recreational and vacant land. Covenant Real Estate can help you with all of your real estate needs, and I would love the opportunity to earn your business. So if you have real estate needs in Michigan or Ohio, call me at 734-731-GREG. That's 734-731-GREG. Or click on the link in the description of this podcast episode you're listening to right now. Remember, Covenant Real Estate, confidence from contract to close. Yeah. So yeah. I know we're going to talk about something else in this episode, but I love testimonies, and I just have to ask, and for the sake of the listeners too. So you're radically saved. Christ comes into your life, regenerates your heart. What was that first year, 2 years after that? I mean, you said you were, you know, a drug user for decades. Was there relapse? Was there an instant change? Did you have to cut out everyone in your life? Did you go into a period of the wilderness, so to speak, or how did you work through that, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, So it was crazy. So what happened with me was I dove into the scriptures, you know, I mean, I just dove into them, and it was just like coming off the paper to me.
Yeah. I couldn't get
like,
enough.
I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
And I ended up the cops out here and everything, they had been building a case on me, and I didn't know it. And all of a sudden they raided our house, and I ended up going to jail, and I was looking at 25 years to life.
Holy.
They came at me with over 800 or 900 felonies.
Wow.
I mean, it was a stat. Yeah. And this is all documented, you know, this is all documented, you know? And my wife is falling out. Nobody can be there for me in court because my grandma had just died. And I go to court, and my lawyer, it's a long story, but I'll just really just make it a lot simple. I saw my lawyer, who was a court-appointed attorney.
Sure.
He came over to me, and he goes, "You need to sign and initial this form." And I was like, "Well, I'm going upstate for 25 anyways, you know, so well." And but I had peace.
Wow.
That was I wasn't asking the Lord to get me out, because I knew I was guilty of all of it, you know, all
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
And here my lawyer goes over and puts his hand on the district attorney's shoulder, and this guy starts to pray, and my heart is beating out of my neck. I'm like, what's going on?
Wait, your lawyer starts to pray, or the district attorney starts to
yes.
pray?
Yes.
No way.
No, my lawyer. Yeah. And I don't even know this guy. And and I'm tripping out, dude.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden these cops come in, and they sit down, and they're all making fun of me and laughing. And I'm like, really, God, I'm going to go out like this. And anyways, the papers, the form comes like in three sheets.
Sure. Yep.
And
yep.
So he broke one off and gave it to my lawyer, and then went over there and started talking to the other, the district attorney started talking to the cops, and these cops were very upset and left. And my lawyer came up to me, and he goes, "I got 3.5 years. And I go, "That's impossible."
Wow.
That's completely impossible, dude. And he goes, "I got you 3.5 years. You're still going to go upstate." And I was like, okay, that's better than 25 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, "You're a good lawyer. You should go into private practice, man." You know, like that. And he goes, "Guys, like," I was like, "God bless you, man." And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, "No, God bless you." And I go, "Hey, what's your name?" And he said, "Oh, my name's Mr. Cross, C-R-O-S-S.
Wow.
Like I said, document. And I was, my floor hit the ground, dude.
Yeah.
5 days later, they let me out of jail.
What? How did, just time served?
No, they have down here in California, they have something called a federal kick. That means when there's too many people incarcerated, they let you out.
They let you out and then just on probation, essentially.
Yeah. And so I came out. Yeah, I came out and man, it was like there was a fire under my butt.
Yeah.
And I started evangelizing, you know?
Yeah. How do you not wake up every morning just so grateful to the Lord for how good he treated you, huh? His grace, man.
That's why I wanted to. Yeah. His grace upon grace.
Yeah. And it's and I've seen it in my life too. I've talked about it many times on this podcast, so I won't get into it, but basically putting anything in my mouth I could, pills and drugs, and didn't care if I lived or died, and running from the Lord. Grew up in church, and the Lord got a hold of me at 24 years old, man, and just floored me, you know? And somehow worked everything out to where I should too either be in prison or dead. But by the grace of God, mm-hmm. his mercies are new every morning. It's undeserved. And that's when my feet hit the floor in the morning. You look up and you say, thank you, Lord. And it's with that gratefulness that we then go out and evangelize, you know? Because I have a real big thing with people who, when they start picking on my theology and they say, well, you reform folk, we're all robots anyway. Why even evangelize if there's predestination? And I say, it is the gratefulness that compels us to tell others of God's love. You clearly don't know how wretched you are and how great and righteous he is. If you don't understand why we tell other people about the good news and the gospel, but, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we could sit here and talk an hour about your testimony, because I love hearing testimonies. A year and a half ago or so, we were tossing around an idea. Jason, who's sometimes on the podcast, talking about Testimony Tuesdays, just have someone on every Tuesday so we can just hear the goodness of God. But so you're pastoring now out in California, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're with Irene, your wife. That's who I met down in Tullahoma. Was Irene?
Yeah, my little redhead.
Your little redhead. And that's crazy. You guys made the trek for, what was it? Took you 4 or 5 days from California to Tennessee, road tripping it.
Yeah, my butt still hurts. Really, really still hurts.
Right.
I mean, all the way there. And I tell you, I've only been to one conference, and that was ReformCon.
Yeah.
And I went there and I saw all my homies, all my friends, you know, because over the years I became friends with all the guys of Apologia and the Cultist Show and Provoked and all of them. So, man, we went down there and it was an absolute blast. But when we got to Tullahoma, it was way different, man. It was different. I got friends for life there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible, you know, just the love and people outdoing one another in honor, and the way his church, the Covenant Reformed Baptist Church, the way they served
Jeff Rice,
and loved on everybody. Yeah, it just tripped me out.
So I said this to a couple people, and I said it on a podcast I was on a few weeks ago. There was just such a softness and spirit of unity there and brotherly love.
Yeah.
For all three of those days. And it was something that, you know, it's those glimpses you get of heaven or of a new heaven and new earth when we're ruling and reigning with Christ. It's like, wow, this is what that means when you say brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this will be a good segue into what we want to talk about here, but unity among brothers and sisters. There's a lot of division in churches right now, among churches. But I would say, and I want to preference this as well, because we call out wolves here. We call out false doctrine. We don't want anyone preaching a false Christ. We don't go along get along, right? Just because we say, oh, well, we're supposed to love each other, so we're going to put up with a false Christ, a false gospel, or heresy. We absolutely don't do that. And I know we're a little heavy on that sometimes in reform circles. We get that kind of image of being those guys that are out there pointing the finger and calling it out. But I think most people do it because they love the body of Christ. They love Christ himself, and they don't want him to be misrepresented, and they don't want his name blasphemed. So it is from a motivation of truth and love. But at the same time, I also see a lot of division within the church. Now, you know, with me, so there's going to be things. You always have to align on primary issues. I would say we probably need to kind of establish that first. We're talking about those who hold to the confessions and creeds and Orthodox Christianity. Though I think you would agree those are the ones we're calling brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're not, we're probably, you know, if you're talking about a oneness Pentecostal that doesn't believe in the Trinity, that's outside of Orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about Jehovah Witness or Mormon or some of those are outside of Orthodoxy. We are told, commanded to call them to repentance. But within that orthodoxy, you know, we saw a lot of division through the COVID stuff and how churches handled that. We're now three years removed from the beginning of that. How important is unity? And what can we do? Like, where's the line, I guess, too? Like, how important is it? I would say it's important, but where's that line of where we don't unify with another believer, or is there a line at all? What do you think?
Oh, there's a definite line, you know, but just giving you an example of what a healthy, Orthodox, unity really looks like is I remember when we were all at the cigar shop.
Yeah.
And we were going around talking about eschatologies, and you said the funniest thing that I've told so many people this, man, but we were all going around, and here we all have these different eschatologies. All right. Some are Presbyterian, some are Reformed Baptist, some are Calvinistic Baptist and everything like that. And all of a sudden when it got to you, you were like, wait a second, you guys have been picking on me this whole time because I'm a Presbyterian and we got a dispy right there. Let's get them. And everybody was cracking up, you know, and we were just, it was just so beautiful, you know?
Yeah. And, that was Andrew Rappaport. Good brother in the Lord too. Yeah.
Yeah. Rapture port. That's what we call them. Old rapture port.
I would say too, and just for the listeners too, I think we have to once again make a distinction between primary doctrinal issues and then secondary issues, right? I can sit in a room with my Reformed Baptist brethren, and I would identified as a Reformed Baptist probably up until about 2 years ago. So I'm freshly minted as a Reformed Presbyterian. I made that cross over into the baptism covenant, but and we've had some conversations on that on the podcast. But there's a difference between primary and secondary issues. If it's a baptism issue about age, credo versus pedo, well, that's a secondary issue in. Absolutely. You're 1689. I'm Westminster. Guess what? We both believe the orthodox of Christianity. When we're getting into primary issues is where I would say that unity starts to split, like I just said before. But secondary issues is where I see a lot of people splitting on. Now, I even have some personal feelings on this because for a long time, I attended Assemblies of God Church, and they have a doctrine on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a second baptism, saying you're baptized in water, but you also have a spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And some AG churches and within their denomination have made that a primary doctrine, which I have to disagree with them on. So I even have some personal issues on that to where, like, where are even within the secondary issues, you know, I can stand side by side with those with my AG brothers on social issues like abortion and trans rights and, you know, homosexuality and all these things. But even that is a pretty major secondary issue to me because the denomination essentially takes one verse and they wrap a whole doctrine around the second baptism and everyone should speak in tongues. And some of them even go as far as to say, and this is where I think we would disagree on that now it's a primary issue that tongues is an evidence of salvation, which you and I both don't agree to that. Yeah. And we would say that's a primary form of heresy. So it's like sometimes we're, you know, interdenominational, even different theologies. I'm always curious, like, where is that? Where does the unity stop? And I don't know. What do you think? That's kind of what I've been wrestling with. I don't know. That's not a very good question.
I totally hear what you're saying. You know, I'm a teacher now. So I go to different churches and I teach on cults, apologetics, and world religions. And what I've noticed from the home that the Lord, this ministry that the Lord has blessed me with, Olive Branch Ministries, I've had over 1,000 people come here. Yeah. And they always come out of, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventists, or the charismatic movement. Yeah. And what it comes down to is, do you believe, that Jesus Christ is God?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the Jesus Christ of this Bible right here?
Yeah.
You know, the one that's preached faithfully every Lord's Day from this right here. Do you believe in the triune God? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you believe have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because yeah. 9 times out of 10, and you know, I've been doing this for years now, 9 times out of 10, they've heard a different gospel, have a different Jesus, and received a different spirit every single time.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed that if they don't hold to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. And they don't know that unless you believe ego army, he, you too will die in your sins.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand the core of the doctrine, you know, of the scriptures, excuse me. If you don't understand the basics and stuff like that, you're either off into heresy or you're a full blown cult. And I honestly believe that, you know, like, I mean, I know I got Baptist friends, you know, like independent fundamental Baptist friends down the street, you know, I don't agree with, you know, but they're still my brothers, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we just call them crazy cousins. You know, it's just,
that's kind of like my King James only church around the corner from me. I know a few of them, and they're a little crazy with that preservation theology, kind of like what Dr. James White was arguing down in Tullahoma.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, still my brothers, but I think just a little confused. You know, I got so much I wouldn't say hate, but people were kind of mad at me because last year I had a gentleman on who's on Instagram, and we kind of been conversing back and forth, and he was a straight up Lutheran. He was reformed in his theology, but guess the two big things: Christ is physically present in the Eucharist, and baptism is salvific at birth. You know, infant baptism. And
well, don't they believe that? Don't they believe he's like around? You know, Christ is somewhere around there's
different shades of Lutheranism too. It's like the spirit is there, or well, it's physically physically in the wine and the bread. The spirit is there, and then just kind of a memorial, like we do it in remembrance, right? So even within Lutheranism, there are different shades of that. But I just wanted to have a conversation about his theology. And I got so many people going, we don't really like that you had a Lutheran on there. And I went, man, I must not be doing my job. If I'm talking about the same things, I started this podcast so I can bring other people on and kind of talk about those things. In no way was I promoting him or, agreeing with him. And we disagreed on those and we talked about it. But at the same time, I'm kind of on the fence there. I look at those things as, is he a brother in Christ? He's got an idea about the Eucharist, and he's got an idea about baptism. And I went, I think I still call him brother in the Lord. And he's out there.
Yeah, of course.
You know, he's and so there was something where I went, probably in my cage stage, you know, 15 years ago, I would have been like, you heretic, you repent. Look what the Bible says about baptism. Look what the Bible says about the Eucharist, you know? But at the same time, I go, okay, I think both of those are secondary issues. I don't know. The infant baptism, that's salvific, that could be teetering on maybe not secondary. That could get into primary. But at the same time, I look at that and I say there has to be some unity. I would much rather have unity with someone like that than probably, you know, someone who attends Bethel. I could probably get through to the Lutheran better than I can get through to the Word of Faith barking like a dog, gold dust coming from the heavens, feathers growing on my arm. Pull your leg out and lengthen it. Healing ministry. You know what I mean? Jesus is my boyfriend. Worship.
Yeah.
Shamalama ding dong. Came in a Honda, left in a Mazda. You know, speaking in tongues. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I'm making kind of light of that, but we've talked about Bethel quite a lot on this podcast, and everyone knows where I stand on that.
To be honest, I just got to be honest with it. I really don't think the whole Bethel and this whole charismatic movement are cults. They're outside of Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, just straight up, you know, I mean, it's disgusting what they do. But I think that Lutherans are the closest we have to brothers within the Christian realm. So, you know, we got the, you know, Presbyterians, Dutch Reform, Lutheran, you know, Calvinistic, Baptist, Reformed Baptist and everything. And I think we're more like this because we're actually holding to confessions. Now, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that the Lutherans, you know, talk about and stuff. But when it comes to unity, it's these core things, the core, not a twisting of the scriptures, like it says in, was it 2 Peter?
Yep.
You know, where some come in and they take what Paul says and they twist it to their own destruction. You know, people that are ignorant and
it's good to note too, and I've said it on the podcast before, you know, you and I, a Reformed Presbyterian and a Reformed Baptist 200 years ago, we were the majority in the United States. 80%.
That's correct.
It's only in the last 120 years that charismatic and Pentecostalism has even been a thing. If you would have took the doctrines of an average charismatic or Pentecostal church, and you take that back just 250 years ago, they would have laughed you out of the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. They would have said, what are you talking about, second baptism? What are you talking about? Tongues can be practiced. If you repeat a saying over and over, what are you talking about? God has to heal every single person. Like, that wasn't the norm because it wasn't the Bible. So I think it's good to know too, that sometimes you and I feel like we're in the minority. When you look at Western Christian church and you see the majority of non-denominational churches are essentially charismatic, we were the majority in history, and we are the majority throughout church history, which kind of puts it into perspective a little bit. We're kind of going through this little wave, and like I said, especially in the Western world, of this crazy charismatic boom, which you have to kind of explain to people because they think that's all there is. Like you said, when the Lord saved me at 24, I said the sinner's prayer at 7, got saved at 24. It was like, I just had to keep eating, man. Like reading that Bible, it was like, what? Oh, yeah. This is in the Bible? My eyes were opened. My heart of stone was removed. It was a heart of flesh now. It was this revelation upon revelation of the doctrines of grace. And then, of course, you know, as we all joke, we go into cage stage and you just want everyone to know about it because you're just so
Romans
excited.
Romans 9.
You know? Yeah. Right.
Romans 9.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we have t-shirts on our website that says Wine'em, Dine'em, Romans 9'em. So there's a little bit of my, cage stage still left. If you want to, you know, for anyone out there, you can buy the t-shirt. It's a good conversation starter, but shameless self-promotion. But what were you going to say there, Haps?
Well, you know, what amazes me is that when you look through church history, when I first started studying church history, I was shocked. Yeah. I was absolutely shocked, you know, because, you know, non-denominational churches, which is like the majority of Big Eva now, you know, it's non-denominational. We don't hold decrees or confessions. We all have the same statement of faith that we just copy and paste on each other's web pages. But when you start to go back and look at where these certain denominations started and everything, and you start to find out, like in the 1800s, you know, prior to the Civil War, I mean, you had Mormonism start, Jehovah's Witnesses start.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to get away from the creeds and confessions, man. And we got to reinterpret the scriptures, and Christian Science. You know, it also got started at the exact same time was dispensationalism at the exact same time.
Yeah. Seventh-day Adventist.
You know, at the exact same. Yeah. Seventh-day Adventist. And so, I mean, you had like another one, like the Second Great Awakening, you know, Charles Finney, denying original sin.
Yeah.
And it's just all this orchestrated stuff. But when we go back and we like look at real revivals and stuff that happened in history,
yeah,
like Jonathan Edwards, yeah, oh, to be a sinner in the hands of an angry God, the yeah, preaching of God's word wrecked people. Now it's all about experience and reason and all this. Sure. It's emasculated the men in the church.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. And I believe it's made people spiritually impotent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just I'm being real, you yeah, know,
ineffective. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when I have heard from several people that they kept telling me like, oh, yeah, Reformed people aren't known to evangelize. I'm like, that's all I know is evangelists that
you're literally part of open air theology where you guys do open air preaching like every week. You couldn't be more evangelistic.
You know? Oh yeah. You know, this is just, I mean, you know, Christ commanded us to do it. So we do it, you know?
Yeah.
And, that's just what it is.
You bring up a really good point about creeds and confessions too. And I was talking to some of the guys down in Tullahoma about this. You know, if you're on a country road and let's say it's freshly paved, you know, you got that fresh pavement, you're on a country road, and it's just flat. You're going to go, man. You're going to open up that throttle a little bit. You catch yourself going, heck, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour on a back road, maybe on your bike, maybe on your car or truck. And you can get reckless a little bit. You know, curve comes up. Guess what? You're going off the road. You didn't realize it. Now imagine that same country road. It's freshly paved. It's very smooth, but you got 12-foot ditches on either side. Are you being a little more cautious? Are you not maybe stepping on that gas? Are you looking out for curves? That's our creeds and confessions. Yeah. The Bible is that freshly paved road. The creeds and confessions are those 12-foot ditches on either side. Hey, take it easy. Slow down. Pay attention to what theology and doctrine you're teaching, preaching, or believing. So although not inspired like the Word of God, those creeds and confessions are very important. And like you just said, how funny that when we decided to abandon those creeds and confessions 200 years ago, we had all these things spring up out of it. Mormonism, yep, Seventh-day Advent, dispensationalism. You know? Now, look, to my Dipsy friends, I'm not putting Mormonism on the same level as Mormonism, as
I just find it odd.
But there's some serious errors, I think, with dispensationalism. I don't think I would ever...
Yeah.
Look at a dispensationalist and say, classic dispensationalist and say, oh, you're not a believer. One, that's not my place. But two, right? It's not that serious. But there's a lesser error there, I think, that can spring up out of, not looking to those creeds and confessions to guide us. And I think you bring up a really good point there. But getting back to unity too, like what can we do, do you think, as smaller churches, medium-sized churches? Because you're all about unity. I mean, heck, you traveled 5 days to come to a conference. I was only 8 hours away, so it wasn't too bad for me. You're a guy who obviously unity is important to you, especially with your background as well too. I'm sure the Lord dropped that in you. Like, hey, we need to be unified in Christ. What are some things we can do to encourage unity between the brothers and sisters in the Lord?
Oh, humility.
I like
humility.
That's a good answer.
Just right there, you know. I mean, putting on the mind of Christ, counting others more significant than ourselves, outdoing one another in honor, loving our brothers, loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving God, you know.
Yeah.
I think these are natural attributes that come out of a believer in Christ. You know, I told people that when I went to the conference, all right, and I was so taken back, all right, and I'm dead serious when I say this, I was so taken back. I said, being at a family reunion, and since we've all been adopted into the body of Christ, since we've all been adopted, now we're getting to know our siblings.
Right.
You know, and that's how it felt for me. You know, that's what it means to me, that when brothers unite to advance the kingdom of God, to glorify God, you know, when I hear throughout like church history and stuff, when the reformers, when they would they would sing the war psalms, all right? Mm. And they would grab each other and put their arms and lock each other and hold up their beers and or whatnot and, yeah. And just glorify God. They've loved each other. And I think that nowadays people are just trying to build their own kingdoms.
Yeah.
And that pride and arrogance and ego can get in the way. And it's like, man, that's, I don't know about you, but that's, I don't want to ever go back to that.
Yeah.
We go from selfishness to selflessness.
Yeah.
So when we go about this with all humility and you see a true unity in the body of Christ, and it's really easy to distinguish who's of us and who is not and who we need to evangelize to. You know?
I'll tell you what, man, your wisdom is preaching to me right now. Well, God's wisdom through you, because I've struggled with that for years, for my entire life, wanting to win an argument instead of just loving and being humble and full of humility. And it's been a really real struggle in my life. I love to debate. I love to discuss. And, you know, I'm one of those people to where if I get you in a heated argument, at the end of it, I'll shake your hand, give you a hug, walk away, go, wow, that was great. And the other person's still upset. And I go, hey, nothing personal. I just really like, I love arguing, you know? And I think that's particular type of person. But at the same time, that's not great for unity. That's definitely not great for evangelism. We're not out there to win an argument with maybe a brother and sister in the Lord that might have a slightly different doctrine, secondary issue. If we approach them in humility, like you said, and can I just say for everyone listening, you, and I'm not saying this to puff you up or give you any type of pride, but you walk in that humility. When I met you, I go, man, I'm attracted to this guy as a person, because he has something that I don't, to where you're just so humble, and people want to be around you because there's humility there. And it's biblical. It's a biblical principle. You read through Proverbs and it talks about how a humble man is straight in all his ways, how the Lord takes care of him, how essentially he builds wealth through humility. Sure, wicked people build wealth and they're prideful and selfish, and we've seen that. But Ecclesiastes tells us, you know, that doesn't last either. So I would just say to you, I saw that firsthand, how, and I love that was your answer, because I suspected it was going to be walking in humility. And I think that's the big takeaway here, and probably not what a lot of Reformed folk want to hear, because we hang around with our Reformed folk. We like debates, right? We like arguing theology. Oh, yeah. We like them. Pointing out differences, you know, but at the same time, it has to all be done in humility. That's so good, man.
You know, I have down here, you know, down here, I got, I know this church, I don't get to spend enough time with them. They're over in LA. They're called the Reformed Church of Los Angeles. Pastor Rudy Rubio and Chris Marquez are the pastors there, and they're Dutch Reformed. Mm. And I saw what they were doing in the community, and it was just so much out of love. And I'd go to their Bible studies, and they'd have this kid from Compton, this kid from South Central, this kid from all the worst spots, and they're coming to glorify God. And they're out there in their communities, and their communities are rejecting them, but they're still going out and giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm doing hardcore evangelism, and they're growing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those people like really encourage me. And, you know, I think that we all sharpen each other. We're all going to have differences. There's always differences in a family.
Sure.
You know, there's always differences in a family, you know, and, I think that we need to learn how to you know, just submit to God's word and know that his scriptures, we have a lot of prescriptive texts in here, you know, on how we all ought to be.
Yeah.
Especially towards one another.
So let everyone know too, because I can't remember. What's the name of your church out there in California?
Oh, I'm it's Olive Branch Ministries.
Okay.
And I don't have a web page, or I just have Facebook, you know. I don't have business cards or nothing like that. You know, it's
no, you know, it's come full circle, because you basically waited it out, because now I feel like no one really uses business cards anymore. It's just like, hey, man, let me text you. Let me hit you up on social media.
You know, the only people that show me business cards, or if they're like a prophet or an apostle, they always write that on their card and they hand it to me. I'm the apostle so-and-so. And I tell them, no, you spelt it wrong.
Yeah.
And they go, what do you mean? I go, it's apostate. Apostate, not apostle.
You you put a capital A on there. It should be a small A for apostle. But yeah, it's funny because I'm a real estate broker, and you would think I should carry around cards with me, and I don't. And most people don't even want a card. They just go, oh, just give me your cell phone, or I'll get you on Instagram or Facebook or something like that. We're living in a different world where, yeah, who cares if you don't have a business card, right? But so Olive Branch Ministries, and where can people get a hold of you at on Facebook? What is it, just under Happy Addison or Haps Addison?
It's Haps Addison. Now, there's a fake account out there that's named Haps Addison. I don't know how to get rid of it, but it's not mine. And if it doesn't, my content's open to the public. Yeah. I've had people make fake accounts on me so many times. It's insane. But
they all want to be you, Haps.
They're just these crackers.
They see the grace of God on your life. They're jealous, man. They all want to be Happy Addison.
No, they don't. No, but yeah, that's so we're Olive Branch Ministries.
Okay.
And we're the only reform. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You gonna say something?
No, go ahead.
We're the only reform ministry, I believe, on the whole West Coast that takes in the mentally ill and those that are dying of cancer. So we have about 20 people that live with me and my wife at a time.
Wow.
And usually when they we're here with them when they get to go be with the Lord. And it's beautiful.
Is it kind of like a little bit like hospice too? Like if they have cancer, they're there in like late stages, or just you're helping them medically through any stage of cancer?
It's a little bit of both. So we're hospice loves us. They were just here a little while ago. Yeah. I got a brother in the other room dying of stage 4 brain cancer and lung cancer. And we're just, a lot of these guys don't have family and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Lord brought them here, and we gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we got to see them grow. And it's like, what a beautiful thing that the Lord brought these people here so that they can be loved.
Yeah.
So they can come to know Christ and actually be taken care of. And so we take care of them, me and my associate pastor, Hannah Stoddard and Dominic Bosco. And so, and the mentally ill, we help them get back on their meds, and we, help untangle this bad theology they've gotten, all of them, and get them integrated back into society where they can be functional, instead of isolating themselves and letting the mental illness get out of control. We help guide them through that labyrinth in a puzzle within a maze, So by the grace of God, we do that.
Well, I feel like that's probably a very physically, mentally, emotionally demanding ministry, but at the same time, probably extremely rewarding when someone comes to Christ and they pass on into glory,
Yeah. It kind of messes with you a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of messes with you sometimes. That's why we go on vacations here.
Yeah.
We go on, road trips clear across country, and we stretch that out as long as we can. But no, it's absolutely beautiful when we get to sit back and just go, wow, my God did that.
Yeah.
My God did that, and to plant, water, and watch it grow is an honor,
Yeah, it's, I kind of think too, I see so many of these people that are politically progressive or leftists or on the left, and they point the finger at Christians and say, you don't believe the gospel, you don't take care of people, you're not truly pro-life if you're not pro-life from conception to death. And I just gotta laugh, because you probably hear stuff like that on on social media and news, and you go, you guys have no idea what I'm doing over here. Like we are living out the gospel daily in this ministry and taking care of the downtrodden and the sick and those people who don't have families and the widows and the orphans. And I appreciate that, man, because that is such an important ministry. And I think the Lord brought you through all those things, all those years of rebellion, because you probably understand them in a way that most people can't. just from your life and where the Lord brought you through. So Lord does everything in providence. There are no coincidences with a sovereign God.
Oh yeah. It is. I mean, brother, I can tell you story. I've been asked to write books about all this, and I'm like, I don't even like to write my telephone number down. So that ain't going to happen, you know, but what you just see, you have more. I think that's when we have the doctrines of grace.
Yeah.
All right. And you're doing this type of ministry, the reverence that you have for God, that God is the one that brought him here. God's the one that called him out of the grave.
Yeah.
God is the one that told us to take off the burial cloths, and God's going to keep him and love him and bring them to glory one day. You know, I think that's the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I agree.
I don't know what all these charismatics, what they're, I look at what all they do and I'm like, sucka, I watch people come to life.
Right.
And I don't mean Shamalama Ding Dong. Like, I mean, like,
yeah,
it's like, wow, you know, but
you know,
I get a little animated sometimes.
No, I get it. And not, you know, look, I don't want to turn this episode into, you know, bashing on one denomination, but at the same time, it's like, I've had that same feeling you have. I've experienced the true power of God in so much as watching someone's life be fully transformed, jumping around with emotionalism and, repeating a language that you think are that of angels. And that's a cheap imitation of the power of God. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
The true power of God, the power of what Christ does is he restores, he renews, he changes, he leads you to repentance. Doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. Doesn't mean you got everything paid for and money in the bank. It means that you are a new creature. And I think both of us have experienced that. Sounds like you have. I know I have. And like I said before at the top of the show, that is why I wake up grateful every morning. So as we round this out and we finish this up, give us a final word, Happy, on unity. Give us a final word on the goodness of God. Give us a final word on whatever the heck you want to give us a final word on. And let the listener know what you're all about.
Well, the infinite became finite. The word became flesh. God became flesh. And he came and he was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. And he came and he lived a sinless life, a life that you and I can never live. And he came to fulfill the law, something you and I can never do. We know the righteous requirements of sin. Breaking the law, all right, is death. And that he that knew no sin became sin so that we might have the righteousness of God. He died a violent death. He was hung upon a cross and he died and he rose for the forgiveness of sins so that we can be in right standing with God the Father. And he died and he rose 3 days later with a resurrection so powerful that others rose with him. And the call is this: to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Woo! Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I love it when the final word turns into some preaching, some gospel. Happy, man, it was so good meeting you a few months ago. I hope I know it's going to be a beginning of a long friendship. Anytime you want to come on here and chop it up on the podcast, feel free. And guys, if you're listening right now, make sure you go check out Happy on Open Air Theology. I know you're on there quite often. I see you live as well on Open Air Theology podcast. I think you're on there. It's you, Jeffrey Rice and Braden Patterson, correct?
That is right.
And you guys get into all kinds of good conversations, so make sure you guys go listen to them, subscribe to them on their podcast as well. And brother, we will always keep you in prayer and support as you're out there evangelizing, preaching on the street corner, and bringing glory to God in everything you do. Thanks for taking time with us today, brother.
Oh, thank you, man, and God bless, man.
Awesome. Right. Guys, we appreciate you listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, remember the chief end of man is to glorify God. Enjoy him forever.
Enjoy him forever. Yeah.
God bless, guys.
Boom.
Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.